That. So one thing that separates all of us is that your walk in life has not been mine, and my walk in life has not been yours. Are you with me so far? But the one thing that unifies all of us is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And in that, there is a confidence, right? Amen. In that comes trust. In that comes hope. And in that comes new life and new beginnings. And I think many times when we forget what is really taking place in our life, what really truly has happened on that day of salvation, we get caught up in all the things that actually take us away from the truth of what the salvation is. And we get caught up on the worldly things. And that's why in Romans 12:2 it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of what?
Your mind,
the way you think. And so a lot of times people will walk through life and they think life stinks. And the reality is that life doesn't stink. The way you think stinks. It's how you're looking at things. It's the perspective. It's your perception. It's what you've been through in life. But God, in His amazing grace, sent His Son Jesus Christ as our Savior so that we no longer have to live in that life of the world and in misery, allowing facts of life to take away from the truth of life. So the title of today's message is Walking or Going Through Life in Truth versus Facts. Now, I heard this from a brother in the Lord last week or the week before, and something really resonated with me because I never looked at truth being different from fact. And they're actually very similar. And hopefully the Lord will give me the ability to explain it to you clear enough today that you will catch hold of the difference between the truth and the facts. And facts of life happen, right? There was even a TV show called Facts of Life, right? And so these facts, they're real things that take place every day in our life. So when we talk about walking through life, and everybody's journey is a little bit different, let's say if you grew up in the streets, you can become very, very street smart, yes? And somebody who grew up in a home, maybe not walking the streets, but grew up in sports, they may have a different or a better understanding of teamwork. Correct? Let me ask you, is anyone, the person who knows street smarts versus the person who knows teamwork, is either one of them better than the other?
No.
But can the person who has street smarts learn teamwork?
Yes.
The person that knows teamwork, can they learn street smarts?
Yes.
So there's a fact. The fact is that the person who knows one thing can change and learn something else. And vice versa. Are you with me so far? And these are facts that take place in our life. Facts are observable. So it may be a fact that you feel hopeless. But the truth is there's always hope. And I'll bring this hopefully so we can understand it. The fact is that you may feel sad or depressed. The truth is you have joy. That's the truth. So now let's take it to the Word. What did the Spirit come with? Fruit. And the fruit came with joy. You may not feel it right now, and that's a fact. But we have to align our minds with what the truth is saying. Now the Word of God is the truth. It's filled with facts. The Word of God is filled with facts. But the whole encompassed body of the Word of God is the truth. So if I can bring some, maybe a little more clarity in this, I want to give a definition of fact. It's something that has an actual existence. It is a fact, if I had a wallet, that I'm pulling a wallet out of my pocket right now. That's a fact, right? It's there. A fact also is measurable. I can also measure how much money may or may not be in there. It describes an event. It is a fact that Anthony played in a play last night and will be playing in a play today. It also describes what you are going through in life. That's a fact. Are you with me? A fact also is something that you see. It's an observable thing. It is a fact that you're tall. It's a fact that you're short. It's a fact that you are white or black or brown or whatever. Are you understanding me? These are facts. The thing is, the truth is the body, the full encompassing part of the real thing and facts. So truth and fact are very similar, but truth has power over facts. This is something very key for this message, and I hope for life that we get this deep inside and always remember that truth has power over the facts. Here's the other key thing. Facts can change. Truth doesn't change. Are you hearing what I just said? So someone, I could say, so, you know, I'm hopeless. The truth is that I have hope. On the other hand, because facts change, I could say I'm full of hope and all of a sudden become hopeless. Those can be facts. They're interchangeable. They change. But the truth of the Word of God is that we have hope, and that is our faith. And we have a confident hope. And our Word says that God is the same today as He was yesterday, as He will be tomorrow. And it also comes with the Word that brings a promise to us that says when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are saved. And you are brought into a new area, a place to inherit the kingdom of God. And in this inheritance, there's fullness of life, there's fullness of joy, there's fullness of gentleness and kindness, and there's fullness of living a godly life. Amen. These are truths that are in here. And all since the beginning of the Word of God until Revelation, to the point we haven't seen, God has continually given time after time after time after time again us new chances because the facts of our life are continually changing, but the truth of His Word that He loves us and in 1 John says that He loved us first will never change. God loves you. And He wants us to understand what we really, truly have in life. And so hopefully we can bring this into something. So facts change, the truth doesn't, and the truth has power over the facts. Are you with me? Okay, so if I dressed like a woman, it would be a fact that I look like a woman. If I shaved my face, I may be a not-so-pretty woman, but I would look like a woman. Remember, a fact is observable, right? The truth is, I'm still a man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just kind of simple analogy. What we see with our eyes isn't always the truth. You've got to get that deep inside. What you are seeing with these eyes is not always the truth. Oh, my God, it looks hopeless. But that's not the truth. It looks like there's no way, but that's not the truth. We get so caught up in what we see, we forget what we have. And what you have is far greater than what you see. The truth is that we are spiritual beings living a human experience. Do you see, when we die, we're spirit. Before we are born and formed in the womb, we are known by God as a spirit that will be formed. Yes. A fact is that we were born with a nature that was sinful. A fact is that we were reborn with a nature that is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. But the truth is that when we are born and when we die, we're still spirit. It doesn't change. The fact of what was in us has changed. And we got the goodness of God in us. And when we become born again, when that truth sets inside of us, truth is power. Remember that, right? And power is something that we don't always grab hold of because we allow our eyes to see what's before us instead of knowing what we already have. Amen, brother. The church. I heard this the other day, and I got immediate revelation with it. It is a constant prayer in the church. I don't know, for many, many years, it's been a prayer. Lord, let there be unity. Let the body of Christ Come into unity. You've got to get this. Please get this today. Lord, we just want unity in the body of Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, you are in unity.
Yes.
First thing you need to understand. But what we get confused with is two words. We get unity confused with uniformity.
Yep.
So because we are a Pentecostal church, then we're not like the Baptist church. Or we're a Baptist church, that means we're not like the Methodist church. And we get this uniformity. Because you don't stand in worship, we're not in unity. No, you're not in uniformity. You don't have to be in uniformity. The unity is Jesus Christ. So I don't care if you go to a Methodist church. I don't care if you go to a Catholic church, a Lutheran church. That is not the separation. The thing that joins us together, the unity of it, is that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So we, again, when we're talking about truth, it is a fact that we're a non-denominational church, and down the street there's a denominational church. That's a fact. You can observe it by the name of the sign or whatever. But the truth is we are in unity.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
So I am not praying, Lord, let us be in unity, because the body of Christ is in unity. The only thing that unifies us is Jesus as the head. We are the body. Remember, the truth is the body of the whole thing. I'm not a hand, or I may be just the hand, but we are the body. The truth is, we are the body, and what makes us the body is we all have the same unity, and that's Jesus. Is that clear enough? I can move on from there? Okay. We got it? From this day forward, it doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, doesn't matter, okay? We have different theories on different things, but if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that is the matter of fact right then and there, and you don't deny the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, you are unified.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you wear nice clothes, dirty clothes. It doesn't matter. We're uni. We're uni is one. There's another thing for you. We are one body. We're uni. Yes. And Jesus is Lord, amen? So, John 14:16. I'm going to start going through some scriptures here because, now remember, what is truth? Starts with a P. Who said that? Oh, if I had a candy bar, I'd throw it to you, but we're watching what we eat. So, but good job, yes. Truth is power. All right, so John 14:6 says, Jesus answered him, one of the disciples, it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Jesus, as the truth, he is the reality of all of what God has promised. So when Jesus says, I am the truth, he's saying, I am the reality. Remember, the reality of something is the truth, right? And the truth is power. So Jesus is saying, I am the way and the power and the life. And all who come to me will see the Father. But Jesus is the power. So when you see the word truth, the truth and power interchange. I'm going to bring out the wholeness of God in this, hopefully, so you may understand. What does it mean that he is the truth? It means that he is the one who is saying, when you look on me, you will see the reality and the power of what you now have instead of what you've been living in.
Good.
The way is the direction. The truth is the power that we get, and the life is the abundance of what it is forevermore. Pastor Weldon has been bringing forth the hope. If this doesn't bring hope, I don't know what will. Hope is the reality of what we have. It is beautiful. It is something powerful. John 4:23-24 says, indeed, the time is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for people like that to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit. Remember that. So truth has power. God is spirit. And we are to worship in spirit, and we're to worship in power. Power. Are you seeing what I'm doing there? Are you catching the understanding? Do you see, there's something significant about worship. I've always loved worship. But I cannot truly worship God when I've got 15 other things on my mind. When this mind is not transformed, and I walk in, or wherever I'm at, in the vehicle, at home, at church, wherever I'm at trying to worship God, and I've got all the cares of the world on my shoulders and in my mind, I am not worshiping God in the spirit that He's given me. And I am not worshiping God in the power that He's given me. And so this is why many times I've said, Pastor Weldon, many have said, listen, when you come here, be all here. When you come into this place of worship, don't look at the kid to the left or the right that's running around. Don't look at your neighbor or whatever else. Don't look at all the other stuff. Don't look at the person dancing or the person sitting. Don't look at those things. Look to God. Worship Him in the spirit that He's given you and the power that He has. And that is when, my friends, things will happen in your life and you'll receive blessings and miracles will take place. Did you know that worship was always the leading force before they went into battle? You know, and worship is a form of battle. And we're standing before the Lord and we're worshiping our God. And guess what? When we worship in spirit and truth, we're worshiping in power. And we're taking the battle to the enemy. And we're saying we're fighting from victory and not for victory. And I don't care how much you've taken because I'm taking it back in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship will transform your life when you know the truth. And the truth is a beautiful thing. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John 8:31 through 32. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you live by what I say, you are truly disciples of mine. You will know the truth. When you follow what Jesus says, you will know the power that you have. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And the truth will set you free. In other words, the truth will make you free. The power of God will make you free when you realize what you have. It isn't the circumstance that lies right before you right now. It isn't your finances that are going to set you free. It isn't having everything that you've asked for that's going to set you free. It's not living in perfect bodily, physical health that's going to set you free. It's realizing that this time on earth, like I showed last week, is a very, very small portion of our eternal life, of eternity in heaven with God. And what we are doing down here right now is forming our place up in heaven. And it is a great transformation. And we're just, man, we're building a life for eternity right here, right now.
Thank you, Lord.
We're building a life that we will live forevermore, that we will never know a tear or sorrow in our life forevermore. So why does the tear and sorrow right now take us out? Because we lose sight that we're spiritual, living a human experience. Everything down here will end. It's all temporary. And when you have the mindset that says, Lord, you're going to carry me through this, He does. You change your way of thinking on how God knows you and loves you. When you go to the Father and you know that He has your back in every situation, and you live your life like that, you will be surprised how your life is lived. You'll be absolutely astounded at how much God is there for you in everyday moments because you are making time for Him in your everyday moment.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 1:13 through 14. You heard and believed the message of truth. You heard and believed the message of truth. The good news that He has saved you. In Him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit whom He promised. I'm going to stop there for a second. You heard and believed the message of truth. In other words, the good news. In other words, the gospel of grace. In other words, when you hear and speak the gospel of grace, you now are speaking power. Do I need to read that again? You heard and believed the message of truth, or you heard and believed the message of power. The good news that he has saved you, in him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Well, how did he save you? The gospel of grace. So the truth of the gospel of grace brings power to you. That, think about it. I was as worldly as they get. It definitely had to be something very powerful to change me. Amen. I want you to think about yourself. It definitely has to be something supernatural to take how I used to be and put me where I am now with the Lord. Amen. That can't just be happen chance. That can't just be, ooh, I heard a good message. Or, ooh, I learned how to lift my hands in worship. It can't just be that. It has to be power. And that's what we received when you know the truth. The truth will do what? Set you free. Make you free. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will receive our inheritance. We have this guarantee until we are set free to belong to him. God receives praise and glory for this. Amen. 1 John 5:6 says this. This Son of God is Jesus Christ, who came by water and blood. He didn't come with water only, but with water and with blood. The Spirit is the one who verifies this, because the Spirit is truth. Oh, gosh, can you get that? Truth is power. How do I solidify that? How did you get that definition, Pastor Mike? Because we received the Spirit. And in Scripture, it says the Spirit is truth. In Acts, yes. Jesus was being ascended into heaven, and he told the disciples, go and wait and pray, but do not leave until you receive what?
Power.
And what was the power they received?
The
Holy Spirit. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Or is it lining up?
Yes, sir.
Well, it lines up for me right now. I'm getting excited. I wasn't sure before I preached it, but now it's starting to make sense. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Woo! I love that. Wow. I got to point this out. I want you to see the Trinity here. Jesus is the way and the what?
Truth.
The truth. Okay? The Spirit of God is what? The truth. And God is what? Spirit. God is spirit. Spirit is truth. Truth is Jesus. Truth is power. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the truth. They are the power. And it is the reason why we are not like or have to be like the rest of the world. That right there. 2 Timothy 1:7. For all of us that get caught up in our mind, God didn't give us a cowardly spirit or a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind, which is good judgment and self-discipline. He gave us a spirit of power. Power is truth. I'm just trying to get us to understand. There's a major difference between facts of life and the truth. And we live our life most of the time based on the facts that we're going through. How we feel, how our emotions are, and how you feel and whatever emotion you're showing is a fact but not the truth. If you want to get your mind transformed the way that God has set it up so that you will have true freedom, to be set free, to be made free, you get your mind to think on those eternal thoughts of what we have through Christ Jesus. Do we have the healing? Yes, we do. Do we have the breakthrough? Yes, we do. Do we have all the provision we need? Yes, we do. Can we have a way out with him? Yes, we can. Do we have eternal life? Yes, we do. Is the circumstance you're looking at the truth? No, it's not. It's just a fact, because if it doesn't line up with the truth of God, it's just a fact of life. And the facts of life are different than what you have. All of us have the truth. of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So to sum this all up, and I close with this, very simply, truth is power, and the truth is in us. That means we have power. Amen? So we'll change the name of the message to Traveling Through Life in Power. Instead of traveling through life in truth versus facts. How about we just wake up every morning and go, thank you, God. I've got the power. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine if you started telling yourself, they call them positive affirmations. What does the Philippians 4:8 tell us? Think on the good, just, right, noble, anything of a good rapport. Meditate on those things. That's what the Bible tells us. That is truth. Because when you think on the good, the bad goes away. When you're constantly on the negative, you're a negative individual. You're a negative person. Saved, but negative. And that negativity breeds anger and resentment and fear, and that leads to a life that is not abundant, but you're allowing the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has given you.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. So, wow, I may not feel joyful. I may not express my joy, but dang it, I have it. I have it.
Yeah.
It's in here. And when I get my mind focused on what God has done instead of what Satan's trying to do, now remember, he's trying, but God is victorious, not him. When you get your mind focused the right way, everything else lines up. So seize the day and don't let the day seize you. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are so grateful for all that you do in our lives, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Father, that you have given us the truth and power and spirit. You've given us a way out. You've given us new life. You've given us a fresh start, God. Father, I thank you that today, being the present, it is a gift. I thank you that this gift we get to open up. And so, Father, as this day unfolds for us, I thank you that we can keep our eyes focused on you and that we can see people the way you see them and that we can hear words in the beauteous manner, the beautiful manner, Father, in which they are spoken, Lord. Father, let us not get concerned with the ways of the world and the tribulations of our life, but let us forevermore focus on you, Father God. Father, we know that facts come in. I thank you for the times for those that are hopeless that become hopeful, Lord. Thank you that these facts can change, that we can seek you. And Father, thank you for your word that never does change. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. I ask you to bless each family that is here today, Lord. Father, increase, Father, their territory. Increase their boundaries. Increase their provision, Father God. And Father, if there is someone listening or someone here who has a shaky relationship with you or doesn't know you at all, Father, I pray that they would come to know you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior of their life. That they would know the true truth, Father, and that they would be set free. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Thank you for a fresh start. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.